After reviewing several proposals from the state's GOP and Democratic leaders, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court released its own district map for the upcoming congressional election. The change came after the court ruled the prior map violated the state constitution as a partisan gerrymander. But Keystone Crossroads' Lindsay Lazarsky reports even with a new plan in place, there's still some confusion as to what makes a legal and an illegal map.
Oh yeah, that's much more compact now. You can see the part that goes up to Lake Erie is completely taken away.
In John Kimmel's 8th grade math class, groups of students huddle around computers, evaluating Pennsylvania's new congressional district map against the 2011 map the state Supreme Court ruled unconstitutional earlier this year.
No, Butler. It breaks up Butler.
It does. Oh, yeah.
It breaks up one, though. That's still a lot less.
Yeah.
And Cambridge.
James Bradley, one of the students at Westtown, a private Quaker school, also finds the new map splits fewer counties than the previous map.
I think it follows county lines much better. The number of counties that have been broken up in the 2011 map versus the 2018 map, it's much fewer this time around, and I think it's definitely going to represent the population better and make it a more fair map in the upcoming midterm election.
It would be hard to argue with the students' analysis of the two maps. By several measures, the court-drawn map is more compact, it's contiguous, and keeps more counties whole, all criteria outlined in the court's opinion. The court found the old map deprived voters of their right to free and equal elections and was designed to give Republicans an unfair advantage while diluting Democrats' votes. But now that the court released its own map, a complete overhaul of Pennsylvania's congressional districts, it's still unclear exactly when a map with partisan leanings could be considered unconstitutional.
If you have a design that's flawed from the get-go, it's difficult to know exactly how much of it to scrap in order to get to the constitutional bit that's left.
Justin Levitt is a law professor who specializes in voting rights and redistricting at Loyola Law School in Los Angeles. He compares the redistricting battle in Pennsylvania to a traffic stop, where state GOP leaders who designed the map had been caught speeding.
The legislature was clocked going 120. It blew through all of the speed limits. So the court didn't have to decide whether the speed limit was 50 or 55 or 60 or 40. The court said, you were going 120. We don't have to decide exactly what the speed limit is. You were speeding.
During the next redistricting process, after the 2020 census, Levitt says lawmakers will at least know they have to stay under 120. But as far as how fast, or rather how partisan, their maps can favor one party over another, that remains unsettled.
The second case I have to announce, Veith versus Jubilier.
The U.S. Supreme Court has long held that politics and partisan considerations is inherent in the redistricting process. Here's the late Justice Antonin Scalia in 2004.
The basic problem is that some degree of political motivation and effect in districting is not unconstitutional. No one contends that a decent amount of political motivation and political effect is unlawful. So it comes down to determining how much political motivation and effect is too much.
In its majority opinion, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court found that political considerations must come second to a map being compact and contiguous, but did not outline exactly where that line can be blurred. And that vagueness doesn't sit well with Amanda Holt. If ever there were a redistricting celebrity in Pennsylvania, it would be Amanda Holt.
No free lunches. I certainly don't feel like a celebrity by any means. I think that my story shows just how an ordinary citizen can engage in issues they care about and have a huge impact.
Holt's a piano teacher in Allentown and a Republican Lehigh County commissioner. Back in 2012, she challenged the constitutionality of the district lines used for state races and won. In this recent ruling, the court's opinion borrowed from the criteria used for state races, but Holt says the court didn't really live up to this standard.
One of the most important rules in there is that you aren't allowed to split any place unless you need to make for equal population.
Compared to any other map that was proposed recently, the court-drawn version divides the least amount of counties, but it splits more municipalities than other options, including a submission from state GOP leaders.
It's puzzling to me because I wonder why they chose to ignore their own court order. You would expect the judiciary would be really good about following the rules, particularly that they lay out. So it makes you question whether they really were invested in following this rule or whether they had some other motivations that were prompting them to create the map that they did.
So why did the court choose its map over the others? Would the other plans have passed constitutional muster? Keystone Crossroads reached out to the court-appointed advisor to inquire about other possible motivations not mentioned in court orders or opinions, but he said he was not allowed to comment. Political analysts point out that the new map is more favorable to Democrats, and they hypothesize that the court went out of its way to make the map fairer according to voter registration data. There's more Democrats in Pennsylvania than Republicans, but the old map clearly advantaged the GOP. The new version seems like it will make things more equal in the delegation sent to Washington. But this idea of fairness is nowhere overtly in state or federal law. For Holt, the uncertainty here illustrates the need for much clearer standards.
I think the ideal process really comes down to not so much about who's drawing the maps, but making sure you have clear and measurable rules so that you can hold those drawing the maps accountable, because you can see that no matter who draws the map, whether it's the courts, whether it's the legislature, there are questions that arise.
She hopes those rules will be in place for the next round of redistricting just around the corner. Lindsay Lazarski, Keystone Crossroads.